Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to talk about seeking the Lord today, hungering and thirsting after his righteousness. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, shall be filled. Now, I want to ask a question to everybody. Who wants to be filled with the presence and the virtue of God? Who did Jesus say that God is going to fill? So Jesus says in promises that him and the Father are going to fill those who hunger and thirst after his righteousness. So we should ask ourselves, am I hungering and thirsting for more of the Lord, or am I just going through religious motions? So let me issue this warning, because if we die in a lukewarm state, how many people know Jesus said that if you can't decide to love him and seek his face continually, to hunger and thirst after more of him, you're lukewarm and you're going to be spewed out of his mouth, which means you're going to be rejected and thrown into hell in the end, according to Revelation 3. How many people know that that's what Jesus taught? Now, how many people know that's common sense and that shouldn't surprise any of us? Let's put ourselves in Jesus's shoes for a minute. Let's say you're engaged to marry a woman or a man, and they could live with you or without you. They don't need you. They don't love you. They're not coming to you. They're not depending on you. They're not drawing nigh to you. They're not calling you. And when you're together at dinner, they're not touching your arm and caressing your head. You really going to marry somebody like that? No sane person is going to marry somebody who's not absolutely in love with them. Let me say this too. When I preach, I'm not begging anybody to obey God. You got to choose to do that yourself. But I will warn you that if you aren't in love with Jesus, if you aren't hungering and thirsting for more of his righteousness, you're going straight to hell when you die. And that's a divine threat. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations, all the nations that forget God. So those who forget God, those that don't hunger and thirst after more of the Lord, don't covet more of his presence, are going to be what? Quote, turned into hell, or sent to hell for all eternity, irrevocably, Psalm 9, verse 17. All right, so if you don't want to be bothered to be in a relationship with Jesus, you will not be with him in eternity. Let me say that in a better way. If you don't want to be bothered to be in a relationship with Jesus on his stated terms in this life, you will not be with him eternally. So anyone who is not obeying the Lord Jesus, what he says in his word, is not following Jesus. The Bible says, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. And I can tell you right now, if you're not coming to Jesus, if you're not seeking his face continually, you are living a miserable existence and life on earth. It doesn't matter what else you have. Jesus said that he that has my commandments, my word, and does them or keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So who did Jesus say really loves him? Those who have his commandments and those who do them. So the first commandment of Jesus and his apostles is to repent. And the reason why some of you listening to me do not desire more of Jesus is because you've really never repented. You've never said, Lord, my life is over. I surrender to you right now. I love you, Jesus. Wash me of all my sins. I'm all yours, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. So Jesus never said, except you pray a prayer, you will all likewise perish. No, he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. John the Baptist said that when you repent, you're going to bring forth good fruit to prove that you repented. Otherwise, you clearly prove that you have not yet truly repented. So what does repentance mean? So repentance is turning your life life all the way to God's way, turning away from your life that you have now and saying, Lord, I want better. I want to be with you. It's when you're crying out to the Lord, and in the process, you're going to say, Lord, please forgive my sins through the blood of Jesus and wash me of all my sin, rebellion, self-idolatry, spiritual adultery. And you're going to name as many sins as you know that you've committed and turn your way to Him that is holy, holy, holy. So what's going to happen then is the Holy Ghost is going to come into your life, and He's going to renovate you completely and fill you with His presence, and you're going to desire the Lord, and you're going to follow up by seeking the Lord and His strength and seeking His face continually, hungering and thirsting after more and more of His righteousness. And as we read in our main verse today, Matthew 5:6, Jesus is going to fill your life. Jesus never told anybody to become religious. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. Jesus told us that the whole reason why He came is that we might know Him and the Father. John 17:3. All right, and understand this, that most importantly is the question of whether or not God knows us. Jesus told us beforehand that in our day, there would be many who claim that they know God. But in the end, He's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Sister Terry and I know a lady who always asks the Lord. She says, Lord, do you know me? What a great question and what a great prayer, right? Lord, do you know me? So Jesus told us what we're seeing here in the Word of God is a two-way relationship. Anybody who claims that God has His part and they don't have to have their part, they can do whatever they want after they get saved, is a absolute fraud, 100% a counterfeit. You're going to seek the Lord, and you are going to engage in and fully participate in a relationship with Him on earth, or you're not going to be with Him in eternity. If you don't want to die and go to a devil's hell to burn for all eternity irrevocably, today is your day to really repent and lay down your life and say, Lord, have your way in me, whatever it takes. Dear Lord, I'm all yours. So Jesus said, He that has or hath my commandments and keeps them, does them, he proves that he it is that loveth me. You prove you love Jesus by your obedience to Him. Otherwise, you don't love Him. Then Jesus says, He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And watch this, will manifest myself to him. So notice we see Jesus saying it again, that He's going to fill those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew 5:6. And now in John 14:21, He says, I'm going to fill and I'm going to manifest myself, my Father and I, to those who love me, and they'll be known in that they keep our word. They walk with us. They obey the word of God. John 14:21. Jesus tells us that those who love him prove it by obeying him. So Jesus said in John 14 also, if you love me, keep my commandments, keep my words. When we love God, obeying God is our expression of love toward God. So notice when we repent initially, no matter where we are today, we can repent. We can turn all the way to God with no reserve, holding nothing back. And what he's going to do is he's going to clear you and cleanse you of all your sins so that you're free to desire, hunger, and thirst after him and to love and worship him supremely. And then after you repent, you're going to deny yourself. You're going to take up your cross. You're going to live the crucified life daily, and you're going to follow Jesus. Jesus said that whosoever he be of you that does not deny himself and take up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You can't be a disciple of Jesus without the crucified life. So you're going to do it. I'm going to do it Jesus's way, or we're all going to hell. Luke 14:27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. So let me ask you a question after we just read Jesus's words in Luke 14:27. Can you be Jesus's follower, his disciple, and know him if you're not bearing your cross? No. How many of you are witnessing from the Bible, the scriptures, from the words of Jesus, that with Jesus, it's all or nothing? Amen. In another place, Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." In John 14, Jesus said, "Those that love him prove it by obeying him," and he fills their life with love, joy, peace, grace, the power of the Holy Ghost, and every other good thing from heaven. Now, this is the same thing Jesus is saying in our theme verse, and that's Matthew 5:6, which every believer listening to me must memorize. Jesus said that he that hungereth and thirst after righteousness is going to be filled. They're going to be filled with the fullness of God. They that do hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Again, our main verse, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're not hungering and thirsting after the Lord, if you're not delighting yourself in the Lord, all you have is dead religion, a form of godliness, a formality, an outward show. You are a hypocrite. Are you in the Word every day? Yes or no? Are you studying to show yourself approved unto God? Then Jesus said that him and the Father are going to manifest themselves to those who truly love God. And those that truly love God, he says, prove it by obeying him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's John 14:21-23. He ends by saying, actually 24, that if you love me, and you will prove it by keeping my word, and my Father and I are coming, and we're going to camp out with you. Amen. We're going to come and make our abode with him. What a promise. How many people want Jesus and the Father camping out in their life? Then Jesus said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. He does not obey me. So Jesus hits it from the other end, and he actually demonstrates to us and tells us who doesn't love him. Those that don't obey him do not love him. So loving and knowing the Lord and truly having a relationship with him is always going to be involving obeying him. The O word, obedience, is one that you're hardly ever or never going to hear in the modern church world. And that's because the false prophets of the modern church world aren't there to ground you in Christ and help you to be ready to meet him when he soon returns. They're there to get your nickels, noses, and numbers. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Then he said, many, not a few, but many will say unto me in that day, on judgment day, Lord, Lord. See, these are people that got saved and or they thought they were saved, and they're calling him Lord. This isn't the rank heathen. This is the professing Christians. And he said, in that day of judgment, they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have not we cast out devils and done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Just before that, Jesus said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Jesus said, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. How do the people around you view you? Do you have the fruit to prove that you're truly a disciple of Jesus? Do you have the love and the joy and the peace of Jesus exuding from your life? Can those around you come to you safely and ask you to pray for them? Do those around you see the fruit of the Spirit and feel comfortable to come in private and talk to you about things that they are going through that are very difficult, and to know that they're safe with anything they share with you? So this whole message is straight from the words of Jesus, and it's all about repenting. That's where it starts. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. Jesus and bearing good fruit for his glory as you look for his soon return. And this is so that in the end you can hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord," instead of, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." If you are truly a true disciple of Jesus, you desire to help others know him. And the key is to be so full of Christ via your daily fellowship with him that his life and love overflows from your life. Psalm 23:5, as we come in for a close, and we'll pray together here in a moment. But the psalmist, David, the man after God's own heart, said this. He said, "Thou, the Lord, anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Now, what he's saying here in Psalm 23:5 is that when you personally dwell richly in the Word and in the presence of God, the power and the grace and the glory of God is going to run over. It's going to spill over into the lives of other people around you. Before we pray together, saints, I want to say and pray also that may our Father quicken you in his holy fear and in your spirit today to cry out to him in the name of Jesus in repentance and put him first and seek his face continually as scripture commands, and to follow him on his stated terms, bearing the fruit that brings him eternal glory in the name of Jesus. We're glad that God's word is running rich in your life. If we don't have a heart after God, we don't have nothing with God. Let's pray together, saints. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent now. I turn back to you and I hunger and thirst after your righteousness to fully and truly know you, to seek your holy face. Father, we thank you that our hearts from this moment forward will follow hard after thee in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.